So the third thing that we need to study about is interpretation. You can write that down. Number one, we saw inspiration. Number two, we saw inerrancy. Number three, we saw interpretation. Interpretation, very, very, very important. We spoke about this in a nutshell yesterday, but this is what we are going to be looking at today. Interpretation. Because we know how the Bible came to its origin and how, therefore, you and I should interpret the Word of God. Very, very important for us. Yesterday, I had already mentioned to you the only word on which Christendom has separated itself into many, many denominations is this word interpretation. Because like I mentioned to you, all the denominations, most of the denominations, we all have the same Bible, we all have the same books, we all have the same words, but they describe it in one way, you and I describe it in one way. The charismatic movement have the same Bible that we have. They have 1 Corinthians 13, they have Acts chapter 2, but they would take Acts chapter 2, they would take 1 Corinthians and they would say that speaking in tongues is something that is still there today. Whereas we brethren, New Testament believers, we don't believe that the gift of tongues or the gift of miracles is still continuing today. Okay, the same. Why? Because of the basis of interpretation. Roman Catholics, the Catholicism belief would teach you that Mary is equal to God. That's why they worship Mary. Okay, but we have the same Bible with us. I mean, we read the Bible, we look at the same verses, we don't think that Mary should be equated with God. Yes, she gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is no other significance other than that. She is not equal to God. Therefore, we don't worship Mary. Yeah? So there are so many. Jehovah Witnesses would take our Bible, they would convert a few verses here and there to preach and teach that Jesus is not God. Jesus is just man. But we also have the same verses and we teach and we believe that Jesus is not only man, but he is also 100% God. Same Bible, different interpretations. That's how we have different kind of denominations today. Simply on the basis of interpretation. Therefore, it is important to understand how to interpret the Word of God. Okay? I was trying to find out where our denomination is, but it's not there, huh? Yeah, Mennonite brethren. We can take that word brethren and just put, we are here, okay? So interpretation is very important. How do we interpret the Bible? Let's look at a couple of things very quickly. How do we interpret the Bible? Number one, when we interpret the Bible, understand we need to interpret it grammatically. Look at the grammatical construction of the passage, okay? Look at the grammatical construction of the passage. What does that mean? Study the words that are used in the sentence. Understand how the words are used in its relationship to the whole verse, the whole passage. Consider the original language. Now, it is important in order for you to make the correct interpretation of the Bible that you need to know Greek, you need to know Hebrew, you need to know Aramaic. But probably today, you and I don't have the time to study these languages. That is why we have to use other tools like commentaries. Commentaries, good commentaries that are the works of great scholars who have already studied the language and have already explained it. That's how. So, we need to explain these verses in its original language. Why? In the original language, like we have so many English versions. You were showing me an example how one verse in one version is so different from another version. But in the original, it has only one meaning. Therefore, going to the original is very important. You and I cannot probably study. If you can, go ahead. But if we don't have the time to study it, we can use commentaries. Commentaries will enable us to understand what is the original meaning of the verse. Explain the verse in its grammar. Study the use of words in a sentence, in its relationship to the whole verse, the whole passage. Then we understand what is the meaning of that verse. Okay, let me give you an example. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. You look at verse 42. Acts chapter 2 verse 42. Acts chapter 2 verse 42 it says. Okay, that's enough. And they continued steadfastly. So, you are reading that verse in its grammatical context. what is the relation of the words to the sentence? And they continue. So when you read that word, the first question that should come into your mind is, who is this they? Who is this they mentioned in that verse? Okay? And explain the verse in its grammatical context. Who is this they? Look at chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. So when you read verse 38, verse 42 becomes very clear. Who is this they? It is those who have repented of their sins and those who have been baptized. Very clear. By the grammatical construction of the word, the verse and that passage. Those who have repented of their sins, those because of the repentance of their sins have been baptized, they, verse 42, devoted themselves to what? Apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, breaking of bread and to prayer. That means New Testament believers, in order for anyone to become a part of the church, two important things they need to do. Number one, they need to repent of their sins. Number two, they need to be baptized. How do we get that doctrine? It's there written in the Word of God. The grammatical construction enables us to understand what it originally means. So, remember, in the original, there is no chapter 2, right? It's written together. Correct? There is no segregation over. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Am I making sense? You guys look a little confused. Yes or no? Yeah? So, in the original chapter, there is no verses. So, you read it continuously. They repented, they were baptized. Then the next line you will read, those people who repented and were baptized were added to the church. In order for you to become a part of the local church of God, you need to repent of your sins, you need to be baptized. Unless you repent and unless you baptize, you cannot be devoted to the two things mentioned there. Number one, apostles' teachings. Number two, fellowship. What is fellowship? Breaking of bread and prayer. Breaking of bread is mentioned only for those who are repented of their sins and have been baptized and are a part of the church. That is why when you don't come to church one Sunday, your elders will ask you, stand up and tell where were you last week. Understood? Because you cannot come to Sunday or church and just partake of the Lord's table however you want to. There are criteria mentioned in the Bible. How do you understand that? By interpreting it grammatically. Number two, not only should we interpret the passage grammatically, we should interpret it contextually. We should read the whole verse, not only part of the verse, but we should read the whole verse in complete order. Okay, number two, if you cannot understand a particular verse, read the above verse. If you cannot understand the above verse, read the above verse. If you cannot understand that verse, read the whole chapter. If you cannot understand the chapter, read the previous chapter. If you can't understand the previous chapter, read the whole book. That is how you understand the meaning of that verse. Did you understand? Okay? So if you are reading a verse and you cannot understand it, read the previous verse. Read the below verse. If you cannot understand those two, read the whole chapter. If you still not understood, read the previous chapter. Read the whole book, because why are you closing your book every time? Keep it open. Okay? Read the whole book. Read the whole chapter. Then you will understand. What is the overall theme? Okay, this is how you are supposed to interpret. You are supposed to interpret it contextually. Look at the whole passage and explain only what is there in that passage. Remember, we looked at an example yesterday, 1 Peter chapter 5. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Contextually, what is the meaning of that verse? If you struggle in your relationship towards your elders, cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. Cast your care of not being able to be submissive to the elders of your assembly because he cares for you. That is what the passage talks about. Explain that first. Give the meaning of that passage. After that, you can also add at the end and say, if you have any other cares, any other worries in your life, you can also commit that to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes? So explain it contextually. Number three, you should also compare scripture with scripture. When you read one passage, you should always find out what do other passages of scripture say about this. Okay? When you read a portion of scripture, you should always ask what do other portions of scripture say about this. Okay? What do other portions of scripture say about this. That is how we make our church doctrines. When you contextually explain, there will be one meaning to the text and other passages of scripture will also talk about the same thing. Remember we read that verse, Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, man shall not live on bread alone but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Is there another portion of scripture that says the same thing? Deuteronomy chapter 8. So explain. Whenever you read a portion of scripture, pause and always ask yourself, is there any other verse in the Bible that tells the same thing? Okay, is there any other verse in the Bible that tells the same thing? Compare scripture with scripture. Now let me tell you something. When you read these three things, you might be thinking in your mind, oh, it's very difficult for me to explain the Bible. Yeah, it actually is. Okay? So let's not take it for granted. If you and I cannot spend time reading, meditating on the Bible, I would advise you, let us not casually talk about this. Let's not casually take the word of God and explain however you and I want to explain. If you and I can put that time and effort into studying the Bible, understanding the context, explaining the grammar, what is the meaning of that passage, how can it be applied in my life, what does other scripture portions say about that, then only let us be involved in the ministry or the job of explaining what the Bible actually says. Yes or no? Because it is very, very important. Not only that, it is easy for us to take the word of God and give wrong interpretations, make wrong applications, give wrong teachings. That's why there are so many people who are misguided today. Because people take verses from the Bible and they say whatever they want to say, which is actually very, very dangerous. So explain the passage, explain the Bible contextually. Use the grammar, use the words, whole verse, passage. What does the original translation say? Interpret the verse by looking at the whole verse. Incomplete. Okay, look at the other verses, previous chapter, whole book, overall theme. And not only that, compare and see what other scripture says about this. Understood? Any questions? No? Okay, let me give you an example. Turn to Psalm 14. Psalm 14 verse 1. Just turn to that passage. Psalm 14 and verse 1. Turn to that portion. Psalm 14 and verse 1. Okay. Okay, enough. The fool says in his heart, there is no. Now, please look here. Can I take this verse and can I teach that the Bible says there is no God? Therefore, the Bible is believing in atheistic belief. The Bible believes that there is no such thing as God. Can I say that? Why not? Does not the verse say that there is no God? It has to be in the... You understand now what I'm trying to say? This is how people take the Bible, this is how people take the verse, and they read it out of context. They would take the same verse, they would take only half the verse, and they would say, hey, your Bible says that there is no God. But that is only half the verse. You need to take the entire... Who says that there is no God? A fool. So if there is anybody who believes that there is no God, he or she is a... How do I know that? Because the Bible says so. Now, you compare scripture with scripture. The Bible does not say that there is no God, but rather the Bible actually says that there is a God. Are there scriptures that says that there is a God? Any other scripture that says that there is a God? Yeah, what does that verse say? The Lord is there. I don't know that verse, but okay, Ezekiel 48:31, yes. Any other simpler verse to say that there is a God? There is a God! One of the first verses that we can quote. In the beginning, God created heavens and the... What is the reference? Thank you so much. So there is another portion of scripture that says that there is a... And it says in the beginning God created. That means even before beginning God always existed. That's how you contextually prove that there is a God. The fool says in his heart that there is no God. Did you understand? Yes or no? Yeah? And I just wanted to show you, because I told you earlier, this is how the Greek look. No, this is Hebrew, okay? This is how the Hebrew language looks like. Okay? So this is how small the letters actually are. Okay? This is how small the letters actually are. So some letters have, you see this dot? You see this dot? See, these are some of the smallest. So this dot itself is an alphabet. So imagine if you write this word without this dot, it has a completely different meaning to it. Yeah? So this is how the Hebrew language looks like. Got it? This is the Greek language. This is just for your understanding, okay? This is how the Greek language looks at. Okay? Anybody can read? No? Okay. Oh yeah, the word became flesh. That even I can also read, okay? Okay, this is how Greek, and this is what Aramaic looks like. Okay, which is also again made up of a lot of, yeah? Looks like what? Looks like what? Braille. Mail. That's what you're saying. Braille. But you have to actually feel that too. Okay, so this is how the three languages. So amazing, right? This is how God used. This is the language that God had used to compose the holy scriptures. Okay? Any doubts? Anything you want to ask? No? Cool.